Acts chapter 20. Last week I talked about Nehemiah and about the will of God. I was leaning towards the message, sharing everything about the will of God more this week about Paul. And as of today, that's pretty much what I was going to, but the Lord led us in a different direction this evening. In Acts chapter 20, we talk about Paul here, and tonight I just want to talk about a testimony. What a testimony is simply what I would call it. What a testimony. A testimony that Paul had. You know, it's a testimony is a declaration, it's affirming something, it's supporting it, it's having the proof of something. And what a testimony Paul had in his life and what he did. You know, every one of us has a testimony. Amen? We have a testimony. At the end of your life, how will your testimony read? How would your life, people look back on it? How will they testify of you? It takes years to build a testimony, a good testimony. And an old saying, it said it could be destroyed in a matter of minutes. Testimony can be. But as I look in Acts chapter 20 tonight, I look at some things and I look at Paul's life and I see five things about his testimony that I'd like to point out to us tonight and how we should have these same characteristics, I would say, these qualities in us that Paul had in him that made him a great Christian that he was. He's probably the greatest Christian, you know, than the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? Of course, writing 13, or give him the book of Hebrews, 14 books of the New Testament, amen? What a testimony. What a life. In Acts chapter 20, and we already read the verses, but again, in verse 17, Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called elders of the church, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all, or with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And the first thing I look here and I see that Paul had is Paul was a very humble individual. Number one, Paul was very humble. He had a testimony of humility. Paul was humble. How did he learn to be humble so much? You know, I think, you know, he was taught by the Lord on the backside of the desert for 3 years. The Lord took him to side. After he got saved, he went. And I just think, you know, as he traveled with the Lord, was with the Lord, and the Lord taught him after he had personal training to learn, that he learned. You know, if you go to the book of Philippians, you can see in the book of Philippians that Paul talks so detailed about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts or Philippians, you can flip over to Philippians 2. We got time tonight, I believe. Philippians chapter 2, let's just start with verse 4. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he what? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I think the Apostle Paul learned right from the Lord and how the Lord himself, who he was, and how he humbled himself and became obedient. And I think he learned that. Even if you go in the next chapter, in chapter 3, you know, and Paul sharing and telling all that he is, and you know, in first chapter 3 and the first several verses talks about, you know, his qualification. If someone could do that, it would be him, the Apostle Paul. He goes, Though I might also, verse 4, though I might have the confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof that he might trust in the flesh, I the more. And he says, I'm circumcised in the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But all this that he could credit himself and saying, look what I am. He says, but I count it all dung. It's like the most important thing is to humble and just to know Christ and to know Christ more. And he goes on in the next verses, verse 7 and verse 8, talks about that. And being found in him and not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, verse 9, but that which is taught in the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said it's not how much I know, it's who I know, and that I must humble myself. The Apostle Paul could have bragged on himself a lot, but he knew that anything he'd done, it would have been because of Christ. And that all honor and all praise and all glory should go to Christ, he says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10, Paul says, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I have persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace is bestowed upon me, not in vain, but I have labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He says, everything I do, anything I accomplish, and we always say, Paul accomplished a lot of great things. And he said, it wasn't me. It was Christ. What does humble mean? Being meek, being abased, bringing yourself low, reducing yourself. Opposite of being prideful. Paul had a great testimony because he was humbled, amen. Over in Proverbs 11, verse 2, it talks us that we need to, if we're going to be wise, that we need to be humble. The Bible warns us in Hebrews or Romans chapter 12, verse 3. The Bible warns us against thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to in Romans 12, 3. Flip over to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, and cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Paul had a great testimony. Paul did great things because he realized it wasn't him. He realized if anything he accomplished, it was through the Lord. He humbled himself. He lived his life. So number one, I see, and I can go on more. Over in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Humble yourself. And I believe what made Paul a great man, number one, he had a testimony that he was humble. Let's have humility in our life. Let's give honor to whom honor is due. Let's give glory to the Lord, amen? If we do anything, it's because of him, amen? Not only do I see that back in Acts chapter 20, we're going to work our way back there, Acts chapter 20, the second point I see about Paul's testimony that makes Paul stand out as a great Christian and did a lot of work, what made him have a great testimony, number two, is that he had a testimony of compassion, a testimony of compassion. In verse 19 again, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and then with these next few words, with many tears. With many tears, Paul was moved. He was a man moved with compassion. Over verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He cared about the folks. He cared when he went on the missionary journeys and after he left and he sent back Titus or Timothy or Silas, sent back others to go. He's like, let them know I'm praying for them. I care about them. He's shedding tears. You know, we're in a study in 2 Corinthians, and Pastor shares with us a letter how Paul and how unruly people and how people with false doctrines gone into the church and they were taking hold of it and how it tore Paul up. He was a man moved with compassion. He was very compassionate. He was very tearful, shedding many tears during his ministry. The New Testament is full of examples of accounts of Paul being concerned and caring about the people, wanting to come to them, wanting to stay with them longer, but time was a constraint. He wanted to be with them and teach them more and give to them more. And again, he pleaded for the people. He pleaded for them to come back to God and be right with God. He gave himself for the people he went and ministered. Over in Romans chapter 9, verse 3, it goes on and says, he even wished himself a curse for others to be saved. If I could, I would let go of my own salvation that you could have salvation, but you can't. In Romans chapter 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, he says, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness of the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continue sorrow in my heart for you. For I could wish that myself was a curse for Christ, for my brethren, for my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul goes on. Paul was a man moved with compassion. Again, I think he learned that because Christ, in his ministry of the 3 years, many times over and over and over again, what? Jesus was moved with compassion. And I think Paul learn a lot from the Lord aspect. And Paul's learned that he needed to be a man of compassion. He had compassion. He had concern and love for the folks. You know, the Bible tells us in Jude 22, verse 22, some have compassion making a difference. If we can have compassion, we can have a testimony that we're a compassionate person, that we care about folks. Wow, imagine what we could do for the Lord. Showing compassion as Paul did, as the Lord did. What a difference a lot of the New Testament Christians had because they showed compassion. They showed suffering for others, showing sorrow, showing pity, having concern for others, putting others above their own doing. At times, Paul would put others. We put others above himself. He had a testimony, number one. He had a testimony, number one, that he was what? Yes. Number two, that he had a compassionate heart. And number three, back in Acts chapter 20, again, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears, temptation which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews. And he goes on, in verse 20 and 21, we preach this with salvation all. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable. He just preached it. He just gave it. He gave it all. He just gave it all. That I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I look at the Apostle Paul and I see this in verses 20 and 21, that he had a testimony that he was faithful. He was faithful. He knew if he went that way, he's going to face trouble. But he went there anyway because he wanted to be faithful. He wanted to keep his word. He wanted to keep his testimony, as it says in verse 1. Paul was faithful to the ministry, amen? He gave it all. If it could be said about someone that gave all that they have, give the 110%, I truly would say it was Apostle Paul. He truly gave himself. He was faithful all the way to the end. In his closing remark, just the last little bit before he would die, before his life would be taken in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says to everybody that would read, flip over 2 Timothy chapter 4. Talks about doing the work of evangelists and making full proof of your ministry in verse 5. And in verse 6, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." And this is what he said in verse 7, what he did. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Telling Timothy, telling everybody there, everybody that would read it in years come by, that Paul was faithful to the end. He was faithful. I'm no scholar, but if I look at Paul's life, I see that he was a man that was committed. He just kept on keeping on. Even though everything that he faced, the shipwrecks, the beatings, the bitten by a snake, you know, what he went through, nothing stopped him. He just kept being faithful. He had a testimony of being faithful. You know, being faithful is not something of the past. It's not something like, oh, okay, that was back then. They were faithful and they gave their life. You know, God's still looking for men. God is still looking for a lot more ladies in here than guys. So God's looking for some faithful ladies. Amen. Faithful ladies that will stick by it, that will keep on. Keep it on. God hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be found faithful. Let's be a church. Let's be Christians that'll be faithful. Faithfulness shows godliness. Amen. I'm convinced. Let's be faithful in church, attending church. Let's be faithful in reading our Bibles. You know, let's spend more time with God's word and we do other things, amen? Let's spend more time on our knees praying for our church, praying one for another, praying for souls to be saved. Let's spend more time being faithful and, okay, I need to go out there today. I need to sow the seed, amen? I need to tell others about Christ. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to give out that track a day or track a week. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do it. You know, the Bible speaks a lot about being faithful. In Proverbs, it mentioned a few things. Proverbs 20, verse 6, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find?" A faithful person, can it be found? It's hard to find people that are faithful today. You know, any little things can take them away from church. "Oh, I'm just too busy. I can't get into word this morning. I'm too busy." Be faithful. Proverbs 25:13. "As the cold of the snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refreshes the soul of his master." Proverbs 28:20. "A faithful man shall abound with blessings." I want the blessings of God. I want to be faithful. Several times over in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke, Jesus says, Matthew 25:23, "His Lord saith unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler of many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Enter in. You want the joy of the Lord? Be faithful. be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Paul had a testimony that he was faithful. He was faithful. He was faithful. He was a man that had humility. He was humble. He was a man, number two, moved with compassion. Testimony of compassion. Number three, he had the testimony that he was faithful all the way to the end. What is being faithful? It's meaning you can be counted on. Amen. You can be counted on. You are dependable. You are reliable. You are punctual. Why should I be faithful? Why should you be faithful? Because it pleases the Lord. We're told to be faithful. We want to have the joy of the Lord. We want to be prosperous. We want the blessings of God in our life. Then they need to be faithful. So much I could say, but my time will run quickly. Number four, a testimony of being submissive. Submissiveness. Go back to Acts chapter 20, verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Verse 23. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying the bounds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul was submissive. He had a testimony that he did what the Lord wanted him. He went where the Lord wanted. Was he perfect? No. None is perfect. But I see one thing that stands out. He had singleness of mind. He had a singleness of mind. What I mean by that, it wasn't like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Okay, what do I want to do myself? He wasn't going back like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do for you. I'm going to do for myself. He wasn't going back and forth. He's like, Lord, whatever you want to do. And he had his flesh to deal with, just like we do. But he had the singleness of mind. He wasn't a double-minded man. He was yielded. He was submitted unto the Lord. It's what the Lord wanted him to do, not what he himself wanted to do. It's where the Lord wanted him to go. He knew if he went back, he's going to be in trouble. They're going to be after him. But Lord, do you want me to do this? I trust in you. I'm submissive. Not my will, Lord, thy will. Where you want me to go? How you want me to do? The Holy Ghost will be with me, he says in the verse. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31 says, I must die daily. And I believe Paul died to his flesh. He died to his will every day. He said, Lord, not what I want to do. I die daily. I die. I crucify this flesh to what you want to do. He let the Lord have control. You can see this. I mean, you got the contrast in Romans chapter 7 versus Romans chapter 8, Galatians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 6, Ephesians 3, Ephesians 4. You have the Colossians 3 and Colossians 4, the flesh, the spirit, the flesh, and the spirit. And Apostle Paul said many times over that he had to crucify this flesh. He had to crucify himself. You got in 1 Corinthians 16:16, Romans chapter 6, verse 16 and 19, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, Colossians 3:18. Over and over again about we need to bring our body into subjection. Be submissive to what the Lord wants us to do. Oh, that we could have a testimony like the Apostle Paul, that we were submissive, that we were doing what he wanted us to do. It is my prayer, my thing every day, Lord, not my will, your will. Lord, let the words that come out of my mouth be your words, not my words. Let me do what you want me to do. Lord, take me this day and use me for your glory and honor. And there's days that this old flesh comes back alive during the day, and I got to smack it back down and say, Lord, sorry. But Lord, have your will. Have your way. Have your control in my life. Lord has commanded us to deny ourselves. He says, deny yourself and take up the cross daily, amen, and follow after him. Let's have a testimony of being submissive. Let us not do our will. Do what we want to do. Let us be like Paul and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I die daily. Galatians 2:20. What is being submissive? It's yielding yourself. It's who you give control to. Are you yielding yourself to yourself? Are you in control in yourself? Or are you giving it to the Lord? The Lord Jesus was submissive to his Father's will. He says, Lord, Father, not my will, amen. Matthew 26, Luke 22. The Lord himself was submissive to his own Father's will, giving us, again, the ultimate example. And I think Apostle Paul learned that Lord Jesus Christ was submissive to his Father doing it, and that I, if I'm going to be successful and I'm going to live for God, if I'm going to do great things for God, that I have to be submissive. I got to yield myself. And so he had that testimony of being submissive. Last but not least tonight, I see a fifth characteristic in Paul's testimony tonight, and that's in the last two verses, verse 26 and 27. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul, the Apostle Paul, the great man he was, he lived his life day in and day out, preaching the word of God, preaching that man must die. And what I was going to preach over in Acts chapter 16 tonight, about the Paul doing the will of God and doing it, and talking about in the jailhouse, when he was in the jailhouse and locked up, and, you know, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was just serving God, and, you know, he healed that, they healed that young lady there, and all the rulers there, all the leaders there got mad and said, and he had them thrown in jail. But we had the jailhouse revival meeting there, right? We have the jailer getting saved, we have the earthquake, and everything shakes, and, you know, the great revival meeting going on there. Even though Paul was going through some bad things, he still, and he was testifying again and again and again, wherever he went, repentance towards and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He was pure from the blood of all men. Oh, that we could have this testimony like the Apostle Paul had. You know, we can't be pure from the blood of all men if we sit home. If we don't go out and evangelize, if we don't go tell our neighbor about Jesus Christ, if we don't give that tract to that cashier or that clerk, if we don't open our mouth, we can't be pure from all men, the blood of all men. We can't be silent. When we have the opportunity to go. We must speak up. We must have the boldness. Over in Philippians chapter 1, Pastor quoted this verse. It's my life verse. He quoted it Sunday night. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and verse 21. According to my earnest expectation and my hope. And these next few words is what really sticks out. That in nothing I shall be ashamed. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm going to be ashamed of Christ. But that with all boldness as always. I'm not going to be ashamed. And I'm going to stand up and I'm going to speak up with boldness. I'm going to testify. I'm going to share Jesus Christ with others. No one's going to keep me silent. Amen. Of that. Apostle Paul says it again. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I just think of Apostle Paul saying, I might go through, and man, we can spend hours going through things he went through. And how men and how even Christians and how people that were even friends of his mistreated him and did him wrong. But Paul just kept on keeping on. He had the testimony that he was pure. He was innocent of man's blood. No matter where Paul went, he would speak of Christ. He would preach of the Christ that on the road to Damascus one day that showed him his sin. And he saw it. And he saw the light. And he preached on a man that saved his soul. And he would go from that day forward preaching about that man. Preaching about Jesus, amen. The one that can wash away their sins like he washed away Paul's sin. He can be the one, as the Bible says in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to tell you about the man that can make you free. In verse 36, you shall be free indeed, amen. Maybe we could go be like the Apostle Paul and be pure of the innocent. But we can't do it by staying home. We can't do it by keeping our lips silent. We must testify. We must speak up. We must have the testimony of the pureness of a man's soul. We must be free, guiltless of man's blood. Over and over again, Jesus compels us. Not only compels us, commands us to go forth. People in hell are pleading with us to go tell others. For they don't have to come here where I am in torment and suffering. Paul had the testimony that he was pure. As I look tonight and I see these five things in Apostle Paul's life, I simply close tonight and say, hey, the Apostle Paul had a great testimony. The Apostle Paul did some great things in his life. Why? How? Well, there was the proof and the evidence. He let his walk match his talk. He had a testimony that read this, that he was humble, that he was compassionate, that he was faithful, that he was submissive, and that he was pure from the blood of all men. May we have a testimony. May we live a life like the Apostle Paul did. And I close, you know, flip over to Galatians 2. Where do you get it from? And this is where we must be. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul had a testimony. We all have a testimony. But I ask you, what does your testimony read about you? Does it say you're a faithful servant? Does it say you are a soul winner? Does it say that you are a compassionate person? Are you humble? What does it say? Well, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the evening. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, to stand behind the pulpit and open the Word of God and speak to the folks tonight. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that all of us, Lord, just grow our walk with you, our relationship with you. And Lord, that we'll die to our flesh more. And Lord, just live more like how the Apostle Paul was, Lord. Looked unto you, the author and finisher of his faith. And Lord, that he had a great testimony. May we have a greater testimony. May we do great things for you. And may we praise your name and honor you through it. I pray you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of missionary letters. Of course, the Rices are back here in America for a few months. The first set of twins graduated. And so they're getting ready to go to college. And they're going to be going to college down in New Jersey, down to Berlin, down to